And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today two of the greatest of the personalities that we have an opportunity to interview. And these two people are from the library, Beth and Katie. Well, welcome today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You look happy today, like you've enjoyed the walk across the town, and it's still dark, but it's bright and warm inside here. The rain hasn't begun. And the library is kind of like that. My impression is a pleasant place to go. Very often, we've talked in the past about how in the wintertime people like coming in because it is a warm, comfortable, dry place when it might be stormy outside or one thing or another. But I thought today I'd be asking some questions about the variety of ways in which people can get to the information that you have both in books and perhaps the portal you provide to the world, because you do have internet access and all of the rest of that. And let's start off by saying, okay, the classic scene is someone comes in, takes a book, opens it, and reads it. But there's more to that story, meaning how, for example, if someone needs to have access to larger print or audiobooks or whatever. How does that all work? Which one of you would like to begin talking about those options?
I'll start and then Katie can fill in. We do have a large print area that has books that are in large print. They are both fiction and nonfiction. So that is available for people who need letters that are a little bit bigger than the tiny little print that's in most books.
Okay.
And then there's also, if you go on our website, it's under Listen Alaska, where you can get download books on any device, whether it's your phone, your iPad, your Kindle, there's any device, and you can get the books downloaded as a book where you can read it off your device. And I do that personally because at the end of the day, even with my glasses, I can't read regular books.
Okay.
So with a device, you can change the background so it's a soothing tan or a whatever color you would like, and you can make the letters as big as you need. So you can do that, and you could also download the book to listen to. So it's audiobooks, and we also have a large collection of audiobooks where you can listen in the car, you can listen in your house, so that you're not tied down to holding a book to read, and there's we have a lot of children's books that are on audio format, too, in the library. So you don't necessarily have to come into the library to get the audiobooks. You could download them from our website.
Okay.
And, Katie, what else? What other great things?
Well, I think you hit the major ones. A couple years back, we received a grant from the Rasmussen Foundation to build and enhance our children's audio collection. And so that's been a new way for families, for both the adults in the family and the children in the family, to access whether it's classics that the parents loved and that now are accessible in a format that you can actually use in your car or in your home.
Right.
For the families to enjoy, or whether it's new materials that the kids have learned that the parents haven't been introduced to yet. And so the audiobook collection in our children's section has been circulating very well and has been very popular because it seems to be introducing both generations and a family to stories that everyone loves, and it makes everyone happy.
Very good. Well, I'm thinking what you're enlarging, I hope for listeners, certainly for me, is the sense of the library. It is both, as we started by talking about, a place. Well, this is a comfortable place. And I think there's value in that as well, because sometimes it is, minus the coffee, because you don't serve coffee to your patrons, you have the comfort of being able to come in and be in a place where you can, one, get assistance in locating all of these things by by actually working with a person, a staff member there face to face. But also, it sounds as if you're up pretty much on all of the access modes that people may use to get information, read books, et cetera, and you do also have a collection, as I remember, having been there recently, of computers that allow access to, so you can do your own searching and the rest there. You mentioned using devices, for example, things like Kindles or various tablets of one sort or another. Does the library have any of those available as well?
We do have an assortment of Kindles, Nooks, iPads that people could check out, and we received those on a grant so that people could check those out and see what they wanted. Would that be something they would like? We've downloaded books that they could read just to practice, just to see what kind of technology is out there. We have those. We also have iPads that people can use in the library, like a laptop, and we have laptops also.
Oh, whoa, that's quite an extension, right?
Not to mention the Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. And your Wi-Fi, has it been improving? I know that that's always the question. How much capacity do you have in a system like that? Is it big enough so that people come in almost any time, or does it slow down sometimes, or how does that work?
We did upgrade it maybe a year ago, and we put two
routers of some sort?
Two out instead of one.
Okay.
You most certainly can research and do most things all the time. However, when people stream movies, that's not really what it's meant for. So when you have someone who's coming in to stream a movie on our Wi-Fi, and then it grows to two people streaming a movie or three people, it really slows down the access for everyone. We have asked people not to do that. That's not what the purpose of the Wi-Fi
sure.
is. The Wi-Fi
mm-hmm.
is to access all that wonderful information.
And it is possible, having operated some of these systems, to identify when that's going on and to actually put traffic shaping filters, essentially,
yes.
that say if you're going to try to stream, it's going to be very slow. So, yeah. But it'd be nice if people just said, okay, yeah, we can't hog this whole thing here. Make that happen. Well, I know that also you have your annual set of programs, changes. We've moved right now into fall, and it seems to be extending very nicely. Maybe you could share with listeners something about what's coming up, what kind of activities are coming up that fit into that pattern.
Sure. So with school being back on, or also back into all of our regular programs, and scheduling additional ones as well, the library had just spotlighted, there's a national kind of celebration of the right to read, and so we spotlight books that have been banned throughout the United States and just encourage people to, if they're interested, to pick them up and read them. And so that happens in September. Let's see, this past week for the kids, we were focusing on fire safety, and so we had a firefighter come in with a truck and just talk about some tips to stay safe around fire. Some of our more regular sorts of programs and events are back as well. Friends are back to their regular meetings, and so they'll be back again actually Monday evening at 5:30. So anyone interested in supporting or joining or being part of Friends, we would love to have them come to the meeting on Monday evening. There's Lights Out Movie Night for teenagers. Teens come in and we usually pick a movie that was originally a popular book that's been turned into a movie.
Okay.
So we can talk a little bit about the differences between the book and the movie.
What have some of them been in the past or for that matter, coming up?
Oh, sure. Things like, The Giver was a really popular story, and that was turned into a movie, so that went really well. For Halloween, we're going back a little ways. It's not a new release, but The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh.
That one seemed to happen the other way. It was a really popular movie, and then all sorts of books came out in addition. And so given the season, we are jumping into that one.
Well, that's right. Today is October 12th when we're doing this.
Yeah.
And Halloween's coming up. Are you doing something special for Halloween? What's the full...
Yeah, we'll do that for the kids. They, the teens are always welcome to come in costume. We order in pizza and things and kind of turn it into a night for them.
Okay.
For our younger patrons, for the Storytime kids, we have a little seasonal party at the library where, again, costumes are encouraged and welcomed. And
does this include the staff? Can the staff wear costumes? Or
yes. Oh, in the past, yes. Everybody's worn costumes, okay. And it's up to them if they feel...
Sure. Yeah.
Fun. Because we celebrate the kids' party is not on Halloween. It's the week before. So we spread out the fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Some other things that you would be able to enjoy at the library. We show classic movies once a month. That'll be coming up right away in November 2nd. We'll be showing The Wizard of Oz. We open our meeting room a couple times throughout the month and welcome everybody in who does various forms of crafting. And so the point is to be able to socialize a bit, but to also have a lot of elbow space and table space to just spread out and work on your craft. And so that'll be open again on Sunday, November 4th at 2 p.m. You can come in and just bring whatever it is you're working on. We show foreign films once a month. Tonight, actually, there's a foreign film showing at 7 p.m., and it sounds fantastic. The title is Ida, and that was up for a few Academy Awards a few years back, and I think it would be a great one. If you can't come to the movie, then come to the library and check the movie out from us. It sounds fantastic.
What time will that be?
7 p.m. this evening.
Okay.
And we serve you lots of popcorn, so it's worth it. And then, of course, we're back with story time. We have story time twice a week, Tuesday, Thursdays at 11. And then we have a baby lap sit, story time for babies, on Tuesdays at 10. And I think that's all of our regular ones for the time being. And they're all up and going and running, and everyone's welcome.
Sure. So is it too early to look way ahead beyond the pumpkins, beyond the spice, all the way to Thanksgiving?
We're with you. No, it's not too early. we have been planning through. I like to look at where the breaks are in the school calendar and then plan for when we know kids are out of school. And so we have been looking through Thanksgiving holidays and into the winter break holidays as well to bring either people in, guests in for the community or to have events going on for the community as well.
Oh, very good. Very good. And then beyond that, of course, is Colony Christmas and all the rest of that. And the library, just a brief mention, is a central player in Colony Christmas. I mean, one, your parking lot.
Exactly.
And two, by then, we expect maybe it'll be cold and you'll have some snow and so on. And the meeting room you've mentioned before gets used and very heavily there throughout all of that time. So what about this? How many people are actually working at the library to make all this happen? Just to remind listeners.
There's four full-time people
and
four part-time people. And then we have a handful of on-call that fill in when one of the full-timers or part-timers are out to cover the desks.
And although we bring in separately, but in a related way, Friends of the Library to talk about Friends of the Library, you work very closely with them, and they're very important in many ways. Is there a set of things that you would point to the Friends of the Library is involved in that is particularly useful?
Yes. They have been central to a lot of our programming in providing funding for our summer reading programs and our teen programs and the things that we're able to do directly for kids or, like I mentioned, having guests in or in various forms of events, entertainment.
Right.
They sponsor all of that. So that's one very direct form of support that they provide for us.
Okay.
And they that comes from their gathering donations and the book sales and Sundays at 2 and other programs they put on. So that's what the friends are out there giving donations and then helping us by providing a way to get rid of books that we don't necessarily need anymore, or books that are donated that we're not going to add. So that's huge.
This is a good point, because I wanted to have listeners understand this. The library has a finite capacity, and you have books coming in, and if they just came in and stayed there, it would begin. I don't know, would there be room to move? So we have books coming in, and you very carefully you select books, you bring books in, you choose books to come in, and there are also donations made. And then you have some kind of process for deciding, okay, we can let go of or rehome these books. Talk a little bit about how that happens. Do you have a protocol or a set of criteria?
Yes, there's a protocol. It's called the CREW method. And basically you look for, and talking about whether it's a donation or the books on our shelf, how often it's circulated, if it's on our shelf. If it hasn't circulated in 10 years, and why isn't it circulating? Is it because it looks ratty and nobody would check it out? Is it because the information is dated? So each book goes through a set of judgments, whether it's dirty, whether it's dated, whether it's not irrelevant. So if it fails on those accounts, and if it then we will get rid of it out of our collection, or we won't add it to our collection, and then it becomes an item that the Friends would sell at the book sale.
Okay.
But if it is an item, then the reason why it's not going out and it is relevant is because it's dirty, then we'll replace it. So.
Okay. Got that. All right. So you make, and speaking of books, of course, the bottom line, there's that the standard approach where people go into the library and borrow the book. That's what a library does. You bring in your library card, you go home with the book, and then you return it. And very often you return it in the outside depository, where I've seen people going out with their luggage and at first wondering, okay, what's going on here? But then realizing you have this roller luggage that you fill up with the books that have been deposited in the outside depository, and away you go. So do you have to struggle to see who gets to go out and do that? Is that a much sought-after activity?
The beautiful summer days, it is, yes.
But do you have skis in the winter that to go out there in the snow?
That's right, skis and an automatic belt, bring it all in.
Yeah.
It's a joke, that's not true.
Yeah, okay. So my sense, having walked by there, is that quite a few people utilize those boxes. You also can bring books back into the library, especially if someone's going to check something else out. But it looks like it's a successful way to get books back.
It's very successful. And it gives people the ability, if they're on a tight schedule, they can just put them in the drop and go.
Uh-huh.
But if they're going to come check out books again, it's best that they bring them in so that they can get them off their account, so they can free up that defined space of how many you can check out at a time.
Sure.
Which is 20, but...
Wow, 20 books at a time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot, it seems like.
People do it, too,
and
yeah.
Just to remind listeners, how long is the checkout period? Does it vary depending on the books, or what's the story there?
It does vary depending on the books. If they're new, it's a shorter time frame.
It's a two-week checkout period.
And then otherwise it's a month. If
okay.
it's a movie, a DVD, it's 1 week.
Okay, got that. So one thing we haven't reminded people about is how to access all the information that they may want to gather about the library, its hours of operations, et cetera, et cetera. So you have ways in which people can find out these things. Tell listeners what those are.
We have a wonderful website that lists everything you could possibly want to know, plus, and it's pplak.org. It has been being updated to be ADA compliant. So if you see that it looks a little different, it's not as flashy as it used to be,
okay.
It's becoming ADA compliant. And there's specific rules and regulations to make it ADA compliant. So staff, Heidi Deadman, is teaming up this leading the staff to changing the website to be ADA compliant. But back to the question is, you can go to our website, pplak.org. We have a monitor in the library that flashes information about what's going on.
Okay. And do you have a Facebook page?
The Friends have a Facebook page, and they wonderfully post things on their Facebook page about what's going on in the library.
Okay. All right. And just a reminder about the hours of operation. We like to take a look at that. So when are you open and what time?
Sure. Monday through Saturday, we open at 10 a.m. And then our closing times vary throughout the week to offset some of our neighboring libraries a bit. So Monday and Wednesdays will be our late evenings, open till 8. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we're open till 6. And Friday and Saturday, we're open until 2.
All right. Okay. Have we missed anything? Is there something that you need to tell listeners that you have not talked about?
Well, I think just a reminder that with a library card, you can go on to Listen Alaska through our website to check out books on audio or books to download to your device.
Okay.
So you do need a library card, but that's really easy to get by just coming in and filling out a piece of paper.
All right. Well, Beth and Katie, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's always a wonderful time to be updated on what's happening at the library, because it is a vibrant place, and I like going there myself. Okay.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.